From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block. Now a bit of sweet advice heading into Valentine's Day. Desserts have come and gone over the years, from Jell-O molds to frozen yogurt, and most recently, the cupcake. Well, some foodies say another treat is poised to be this decade's defining sweet. NPR's Netta Ulaby visited one bistro in Alexandria, Virginia, that's saying bonjour to the macaroon.
In the kitchen of Restaurant Eve, the cooks are chilling chocolate, proofing bread, and cleaning dill. And one of them is making macaroons.
Whisk it up quickly, but not too quickly.
The executive pastry chef of Restaurant Eve is Ed Holoka. He's blending egg whites and sugar in the service of a dainty French cookie that looks like a fancy little moon pie made with almond flour and flavoring.
It should be crispy on the outside, slightly chewy on the inside, and then it should have just a nice, smooth filling.
A filling cupped by shiny shells of airy meringue. Maybe it's buttercream or jam. Holoka's macaroons look like colorful round pixels of flavor.
Lavender and rosemary, sea salt and olive oil, blood orange pistachio.
Demand for macaroons has spiked in the past few months, says Holoka, a trend noted also by Amanda McClements on her food blog, Metro Curion.
I've sort of noticed that the macaroon is popping up partout, as they say, in France, everywhere.
Everywhere meaning high-end restaurant dessert menus, Starbucks in limited editions, and on the rapidly followed television show, Gossip Girl.
I was in Paris. Only to get your favorite macaroons from Pierre Hermé.
Gossip Girl is kind of putting the macaroon in the spotlight.
McClemon says Gossip Girl just might do for the macaroon what Sex and the City did for cupcakes. It seems that every slightly risque New York-style-obsessed show needs a signature treat.
I think especially for young kind of trend watchers, this has certainly been put in the forefront of their minds that what's a macaroon and where can I get one?
For some people, it's not cool enough just to eat macaroons. They have to make them.
All right.
That's why one cute young couple have come to the industrial steel kitchen of Washington, D.C.'s St. Regis Hotel for lessons on making macaroons.
Macaroons are the fashionable snack. So we're trying to get ahead of the curve on that.
Donald Stevens is a casual cook, like most of the students in the sold-out class. And they all need lots of coaching from executive pastry chef Fabrice Bendano.
You know how to hold the piping bag?
No.
All right, so you're going to use your right hand all the way on top.
Okay.
Small portions. Small portion.
The technique eludes 26-year-old Lindsay Einstein, who's been trying unsuccessfully to make macaroons at home.
Mine look like blobs of toothpaste, and his look like pink silver dollars.
In fact, after getting schooled in macaroons' intimidating secrets, like drying the almond flour and sugar together in advance and tempering the egg whites, Donald Stevens says maybe the cupcake needn't feel too threatened by the macaroon.
It seems very complicated to prepare, so I'm skeptical.
Still, macaroons have hit enough of a tipping point for the French to start mocking our newfound obsession for them. Restaurant Eve's pastry chef Ed Holoka says one of Paris's most famous macaroon makers thinks we like them because they look a little like hamburgers.
And he came up with this one macaroon just to kind of make fun of Americans a little bit, which is actually a ketchup macaroon. And he does put a little bit of pickles on it. He did it kind of, I think, as a joke, but it's become this really staple popular macaroon.
Leave it to the French. For Valentine's Day in this country, Holoka suggests sticking to raspberry macaroons, or maybe white chocolate. Netta Ulaby, NPR News.
And if you're adventurous, you can find the St. Regis Hotel's recipe for rose white chocolate macaroons at our website, npr.org.
It wouldn't be Valentine's Day without sweethearts, those little heart-shaped candies with sugary phrases like puppy love and sweet pea. For the first time in 145 years, the company that makes sweethearts, Necco, has revamped the original recipe. The new candies have brighter colors, bolder flavors, and more current expressions. Patty White reports.
Sweethearts are about as American as apple pie, at least in terms of tradition. But when it comes to flavor, the comparison ends for some.
I would describe the taste to be like a delicious chalk.
It's kind of a classic taste. They're subtle and a little bitter.
Well, they're okay. They're kind of weird tasting, but
kind of like medicine, like Pepto-Bismol a little bit.
That was Keith Luke, Jamie Boucher, and Jonah and Sarah Spiegel at the Old Port Candy Company in Portland, Maine. Despite mixed opinions on flavor, Sweethearts are the number one selling non-chocolate Valentine's Day candy. At Necco's factory in Revere, Massachusetts, workers stamp and print about 6 billion sweethearts a year. But the company's vice president of operations, Dave Smith, says they still saw room for improvement.
Definitely tastes kind of bland.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say it, there's a little something chalky about it.
Yes. And I think everybody will say the same thing. The original sweethearts were a bit chalky. Some people really like eating chalky, but the idea is that the new flavors and textures are much more candy-like, and you can enjoy them more because they taste a little better.
For Necco, better is bolder. Out are banana and wintergreen, in are green apple and blue raspberry. Along with the new flavors, Necco is printing updated sayings on sweethearts, all chosen from a consumer contest. The top picks? Tweet me and text me. Those choices aren't too surprising, says Necco brand manager Amy Scott.
Now with social media and with Twitter and with Facebook and all these other really powerful social media engines and blogs, we've really been able to change that relationship that companies have with their consumers. So it's much more of a two-way dialogue, and that really enables consumers to say, hey, here's what I want, and for companies to be really responsive in meeting those consumer needs.
Of course, the real test is whether the new flavors hold up to today's discerning palates. 14-year-old Anthony Lewis was disappointed when he heard Sweethearts change their recipe, but then he tried a new one.
These taste more flavorful than the other ones. They, like, have a distinct orange taste, because this one is orange.
Do you think it's a good idea?
I think it is. I think it tastes delicious.
Yeah. If you don't like the new Sweethearts, there are other options. Brock's makes their own version of Conversation Hearts, which are unchanged this year. Or if sugar isn't your thing, you can now send virtual Sweethearts through Twitter. For NPR News, I'm Patty White.
This is NPR News.
When he's not visiting the U.S., the Dalai Lama lives in exile in India. Commentator Sandeep Roy is very familiar with the trip between India and the U.S. and the culture shock it can bring.
My mother knew I was becoming American before I did. On one of my earliest trips back to India, I walked into our house and found giant saucepans of boiled water. "You can't drink the water here anymore," she informed me. "You have an American stomach now." It wasn't just the water. A whole culture of food was suddenly off-limits too. Street food, what we call chaat, fresh, spicy, quick bites with a whiff of exhaust from the bus lurching by. Now when I go home, I watch my Indian friends eat chaat on the street. I am the non-resident Indian clutching my bottled water. I can get the runs just by looking at the chaat seller and the dirty rag on which he wipes his hand. But I craved it. Then I discovered Vicks. In, of all places, Berkeley. Back then, it was a tiny place tucked in the back of an Indian grocery store. The line was out of the door. It turned out there were thousands of chaat addicts like me all over the Bay Area. Owner Vinod Chopra serves hot samosas and freshly fried potato patties with swirls of dark tamarind sauce and pools of white yogurt. When he told his wife he wanted to open a chaat shop, she was horrified.
In India, this type of cuisine is kind of looked down upon as to, you're not a restauranteur, you are just a hawker, sort of.
Now Vicks is a Bay Area landmark. It expanded into the warehouse next door, and it's still hard to get a table. A few crunchy, tangy snacks, and I'm almost back with my friends on the street corner. Almost, but not quite. Vicks is still a restaurant. Then I found Rana and Akash Kapoor. They have an Indian version of a taco truck called Curry Up Now. When I met them, they'd been up till 2 in the morning cooking.
There's kati rolls, which is a whole wheat bread layered with eggs, stuffed with curry chicken and minced cilantro chutney. Golgappas, fried semolina balls, and it's filled with tamarind water and boiled potatoes.
This is the real stuff. Street food right on the street. It brings back memories for Akash Kapoor.
You know, I've loved it since I grew up. In India, the chaat vendors used to come to the house and serve you right outside your gate. So that's how I grew up. That's how my wife grew up, and that's what we like. We like that dirty food.
Here in San Francisco, it's a different story.
We're germ-free for the most part. We're very, very anal. We got inspected 2 weeks ago, and the guy said it's excellent.
It might taste like the streets of Mumbai, but it comes with a health inspector's certificate. Back at Vic's, Vinod Chopra and his son Amod tell me when they go home to India, they're still tempted by the real stuff.
I stopped eating after my kidney disease. So then I had to be very careful of the water especially. But still, I sneak by somewhere here and there.
Yes. Our relatives would call me and tell me, your dad's eating on the streets again. He's eating chaat on the streets again. And I would be so upset with him. But I learned my lesson. I actually got sick eating chaat and had to sit in a middle seat on the entire ride back.
It's probably been 15 years since I've dared. But my American stomach and my Indian palate have finally come to a happy meeting place on a street corner in California. I've realized sometimes you just can't go home again. You don't need to.
Commentator Sandeep Roy is host of New America Now on KALW in San Francisco. You can comment on his essay on the opinion page of npr.org.